Good morning, everybody.
Hey, gang.
This is October 25th.
Just another magic Monday.
Yep. In the year of our Lord, 2021. And this is, what episode are we up to? 242.
Well, I think we're gonna come pretty close to hitting 250 here before we take our little holiday break.
Hiatus.
Dominus hiatus.
Ex Nabisco. Shred them, weed them.
Pumpkin spice them.
Hey, speaking of that, I mean, this isn't a theme, but we both saw Dune.
We both saw Dune. Yeah.
How many stars would you give it out of five?
I'd give it five.
I mean, that's surprising because you did not like Arrival, which is also a Denis Villeneuve film.
I know, but Arrival just had no plot. So that was the problem with Arrival. I mean, the look of it and everything was kind of cool, but Arrival was just dumb. We'll have to agree to disagree. Yes.
I like this game, but it wasn't, I mean, it's clearly better than the David Lynch Dune, but David Lynch Dune's, you could say, is fun in some ways. So I would have liked a little bit of like Gurney and Paul like farting on each other, some kind of way of lightening the mood because it was a very serious film. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Good. So Michelle agrees with you. Arrival sucked.
Yes, Michelle.
I actually really liked it. It's probably one of the
five sci-fi films.
But you know, you also hated First Reformed, and I loved that movie. So there's clearly a, a gap in our. We're not the same person, everyone.
We're not the same. Which, thank God, right?
CK says, "Fuck
be bad
yeah,
for both of us."
Spice must flow. Yes. And then Ellen asks, "Top question: spoilers or no spoilers?"
Okay, so we should introduce ourselves on the topic. Ellen's trying to move us along here.
And then answer the question, yeah. So yes. I'm Ash Van Steenwyck. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And right, so this week we are sort of riffing off of this new show, Squid Games. And... Yeah.
We're not going to be plot-wise. It's just more of a springboard of because people are talking about it.
Yeah. So we're not going to do spoilers to the best of our ability. But if even hearing about anything about it feels like a spoiler, then I guess we might be. But no, we're not going to share any of the juicy little details, and it's very juicy. In many different ways.
Juicy in the fluid sense.
Yes.
You know, just for... Yeah, we really are just springboarding off of it because I've only seen the first episode. Dan is like, I think, up to episode five. So this isn't an analysis. Of course, like the way it treats the themes that we're talking about, kind of the hustle of capitalism and the way we exploit each other and it's normalized, that... is pretty apparent early on, and we're going to talk about that, not talk about a play-by-play of how the plot develops. Because to me, the show is, from my understanding of the show, it's not like doing that sort of level of analysis would really shed so much extra light on the topic at hand.
Yeah, so, I mean, the show is super intense. It's really intense. You know, if you're not into violence, you definitely should not watch the show.
And if you're too into violence, you probably shouldn't watch the show.
If you're too into violence, that's a whole other issue. But to me, the show is really actually an incredible critique on capitalism. And I guess I'm not as much of an anime fan, or I mean, I'm a fan of it, but I don't know it as well as you do. Apparently, there's many ways that it's similar to some anime plots.
Mm-hmm. It feels very like there's a number of anime that almost have the same premise. People in some sort of bad situation, entering into some sort of arena of combat, like regular people having to hurt each other in order to like clear debts. But then there's also a lot of anything that's, it's kind of, it's game based. So there's a whole genre of isekai where people go to other worlds where they're basically living a role-playing game. And really that's what Squid Game is it's kind of like a battle role-playing game that people are forced into, or not forced. They choose it, but there are coercive elements. It's not like you can just opt out easily.
Well, but this is the coercive element. I mean, the coercive element is capitalism. Right. Yes. And that's what's so fascinating to me about it is that, you know, everything is centered around money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it what it's really talking about is how this focus on money, this love of money that our society cultivates. And, you know, I mean, this could be, I mean, I was thinking about all kinds of things that have happened in the news recently, right? Like this whole new thing of these stock trading apps, you know, the whole GameStop thing that happened. You know, these different challenges that emerge online, you know, not to mention just the basic lottery, right? And the incredible increase in gambling and casinos. I mean, in some ways, they're all the Squid Game. Right? It's sort of, they're all the same. And this incredible obsession with money, and then particularly what happens if you fail at that obsession, is really what the whole show is about. And it does a very, very good job at showing how, you know, and this is what we're chatting about before we get started, right? About how malleable we are and can be very much formed to be addicted to almost anything. I mean, this we could spend some time talking about the great Facebook meltdown that's happening. It's kind of a similar thing. We can be formed into almost any kind of addiction. And if it's not a helpful one, then really bad things can happen.
Well, and then there's this sort of kind of herd. I mean, we're social creatures. The amount of, it's astonishing how much it takes to try to deviate from the norm. And you have to willingly sacrifice your security to do so. Like, so in hustle culture, like everything is hustle now, and it's become increasingly normalized. Like, so since I've been someone my entire adult life who's relied on fundraising and speaking and like cobbling together some things to try to make basic ends meet, it's been astonishing. That was kind of like the starving artist thing.
Right.
Like, we used to have that as a genre of people. Now everyone's like that.
Right.
Because everyone's like, well, they're Uber, they're Lyft, and it's normalized. Like, it's normalized. Yeah. So everything is about hustle. And you could, and so it incentivizes a certain kind of cutthroat, like, prioritization. It's like, remember, you know, this also used to be a thing that I think was more prevalent, but maybe it still exists. When a longtime friend would be like, oh, I haven't talked to you for a while, Dan. Let's grab some coffee. And you're like, oh, great. I haven't seen you in a decade. And then you go there and they're dressed in a suit and tie and they have a portfolio where they're like, what are two things that everybody wants? Time and money. Am I right? What if I could tell you of a way that you could have more time and more money through an organization called Amway? Right? So there's this sort of like, everything is like this hustle where you have to objectify others as means towards your own success. And we can focus on the way that that's kind of like, there's the individual love of money that's caused by insecurity and a need to dominate. But then our whole system kind of is increasingly built that way. So it becomes like, even though we're not murdering each other, which I'm assuming is part of the Squid Game premise, we are using and exploiting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And our system is built that way.
Yeah.
Here's the first question about, you know, you can speak to this. Michelle asks, I've been ignoring all the stuff with Squid Games. It looks kind of blah. You all like it?
It's not blah. it's sort of the opposite of blah. like is sort of an interesting term. I'm not sure I like it, but it's very, very powerful. It's very, very powerful. And, you know, and speaking to what you just talked about, Ash, in terms of the normalization of hustle culture, what's sort of the most terrifying thing to me about the show is I'm watching it and I'm thinking, yeah, sure, I could see this happening. Like, it doesn't feel weird. That's probably the most terrifying thing to me about it, is that, I could absolutely see this going on. And I think that speaks to this phenomenon of normalizing this commodification, the commodification of our bodies, right? There's a whole layer of that going on in this. As people become more and more attuned to the idea that, right, just hustling for lots of money, mm-hmm. and how can I hustle for lots of money? And that's what life is all about. That something like this could easily happen. And another thing we could tag up on this, I just saw something on Facebook, a whole discussion about this guy. Oh, and now I'm going to blank on his name, of course. This black guy, he's a YouTube sort of sensation teacher, and he's talking about how to be a successful, mostly black man, right? And it's all about commodification, right? Mm-hmm. And it's basically like how to win at capitalism. It very much reminds me of all these things that we're seeing, these various teachers who are basically going like, yeah, look, you know, the hustle, this is all kind of, oh yeah, thanks, Gregory. Yeah, Kevin Samuel. It's like, this is what we've got to do to win the game. It's very rare that there's ever any question of, okay, is this game good? And is this game any different than any other game that's being played, right?
Well, the thing,
Gus is back.
Well, the thing, yeah, some comments are coming in. And the thing is that's, it's interesting. It's not hustle culture and art. It's not just about making a lot of money. It's about making enough so you don't have to be afraid all the time. And so this is where, like, mm-hmm. the premise of Squid Game, as I understand it, watching all of one episode, is these are people, some of them are just greedy bastards, but a lot of them are like, they just dug themselves into a hole. Mm-hmm. So they got into debt. And most people get into debt, you know, maybe you can, a lot of it's poor choices, but a lot of it is we're told that everything, like, success happens in this society because you have a good idea. And that the heroic thing to do is leverage everything you have, including your own health and sanity, to capitalize on that idea, because we live in a meritocracy. And so the reason that Amazon.com exists instead of WhiteToast.com, I don't know, some other like bookstore that maybe started in the 90s isn't big, is because of the brilliance of Jeff Bezos, not because of the $300,000 loan from his parents, plus much more from friends, plus other kinds of connections he had, right? And so it's really about the idea. So we're told, you know, it's like, you know what? Henry Ford failed 6 times and he succeeded on the 7th time. The Model T, and it changed the world. Like, so we get this sort of thing.
That's what British people say about Henry Ford.
that was more like my 1920s East Coast accent approach. That's what I was going for. I thought it was pretty good there. See, like that kind of a thing. So
that was a totally different accent that time.
Shut up. I don't want you complicating this with the truth. So we're just told, like, and so then we kind of fuck things up, and it's not even our fault that things fuck up. It's not, we're told it's all our own. So then people end up in debt. They end up in bad situations because they're trying their best. And then enter the Squid Game as this thing like, what if I could clear your debt and you could make a lot of money? Just have to play a little game. And then before you know it, you're murdering your friends. Like, that's kind of the, now that's an extreme example, but we do a small version of that all the time. Like, I mentioned, like, the idea of like, hey, Chaz, I only slept 3 hours last night and I got 12 hours of straight driving to do tonight. Like that kind of, I don't know. That's just apparently how truck drivers talk. That was my truck driver accent. I don't even know. I need to stop with any accents whatsoever.
Ash's accents.
The only accent I can do is Sean Connery, and I should just always stick with Ash mode and Sean Connery mode. But anyways, self-sacrifice, exploiting our relationships, being proud of our own suffering, having our mental health become unstable in order to like provide for our families and ourselves. This is the real life Squid Game. So comments.
All right. A lot of comments.
Michelle writes, hustle culture is so toxic and sad. I hate capitalism for damn sure.
Yep.
Gregory writes, commodification of reality is inextricably linked to ossification of our spirit.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. And that's the thing is that, that I think this show is so great at showing is, you know, and there have been a lot of famous experiments about this, social science experiment. I mean, it happens so quickly. Right? Our spirit becomes so ossified and dehumanized so quickly that it's, you know, it's very powerful and kind of terrifying.
Yeah, and it's because we are social creatures, we're malleable. This is the downside, is we, in a toxic system, we'll act in toxic ways, and it's miraculous, almost in the full sense of that term, for someone to deviate from the script. Now, the plus side of that is we're malleable. And if we, those of us who have capacity and some vision enough to create counter systems to normalize, I mean, this is the downside is when cults do this in a toxic way, but you know, the fact that cults can take a group of, you know, 100 people and get them all to operate under an entirely different script shows us that it's possible to live differently. Now, we just don't want to do it in a kind of shitty cult authoritarian way. Susan writes, oh man, Mark, yes, transactional versus relational economy. And then Susan does say, yeah, Ash, I realize that I messed up referring to you as Mark. Yeah. But yeah, the idea of transactional versus relational economy, it's really astonishingly hard to have good relationships in our society.
Yeah.
And that's not because we can say it's because, oh, you're socially awkward or you lack social skills or you need to go where the people, you can, we say all this stuff, but our system is built for transaction.
No, I mean, we're trained this way. You know, I told the story last week about the first and third graders who were already trained in capitalism. Like, and they already knew how it worked, and they knew how to ask their aunt for money when she did drawing projects with them. And so, I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, when, you know, and those of us that have been involved in intentional community work for a long time and have watched sort of failure after failure after failure, you know, oftentimes, you know, you want to blame yourself, you want to blame other people that you're with, you know, they sort of turn on each other, eat each other like rats on a sinking ship. We don't really validate enough how powerful this anti-relational formation is, and how transactional we learn to be at an incredibly early age when we're not even aware of any of that. And, you know, then it, we don't say, okay, I need to actually unlearn this huge amount of stuff and these huge, deep reactions that I have to things and to other people, at the same time that I'm trying to learn a new way of doing things. And that's just, that's very hard. We have to have a lot of compassion for ourselves and each other, because it's really, really, it's a big uphill thing.
Well, and this, just to kind of bring Jesus into this for a second, because we've got to kind of every once in a while just to make the Christians happy. I mean, this is part of the, one of the worst, the most toxic thing. This is part of Western civilization in general, but we see this at its highest art form, I think, in the U.S. culture. This idea of taking Jesus's statements around things like money, compassion, and turning them into individual ethical, moral choices. Hmm. So this idea, like, let's take the things like give to the one who asks. So all of a sudden you have individuals trying to figure out how to, like, moralistically give in a condescending way to poor people without realizing, like, okay, so by the time you have the disciples acting out all of Jesus's stuff, they're living in an alternative community where they do redistribution of wealth. There are no poor among them, and they do all this stuff. And what it is it's the church is a system where they all try to rewrite the parameters together. It's a new normal. They're not interpreting it as, I guess, individualistically, you have to figure out how to be compassionate. So this is the like in our society, we want to turn this all into individual ethics, and it's messed up. We were not made to live out Christian, like, the teachings of Jesus in a heroic, individualistic way.
Yeah.
That is how we end up playing the squid game with Jesus. Like, we end up feeling like we have to win at living out these religious heroic stuff.
Right.
Yeah, or, you know.
All right, we're way behind in our comments.
So Gus, librarian Gus says, Behind the Bastards has a wonderful two-part series on Amway. I haven't listened to that one yet. Lots that we can say there. Michelle writes, I think a better way to say it is it looked too close to reality for me. Yeah, that might be fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's all sorts of stuff. It's like watching Chernobyl. Like, I had to gear myself up for, like, oh, bureaucratic people fucking up everything. Let's watch that. Susan writes, my son watched Squid Games and said, I said, watch, I'm afraid.
It's very reasonable to be somewhat afraid of watching it.
CK writes, fucking credit ratings are an abomination. Again, like, I can't remember if we brought this up, but when everyone started losing their damn minds over China having this rating system over how good of a citizen you are.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh my God, this is horribly authoritarian. I'm like, well, we have credit scores. These private companies do credit scores. It's not like a national systematized thing. And it determines, credit scores can determine if you get a job. It can determine if you get an apartment, if you can get a loan.
Well, and it's amazing how it's now exploding, right? So you can pull it up on your app. You know, it used to be this, like, weird, arcane, secretive thing that, you know, barely anybody paid attention to, right? Now you can pull it up on your app. Now you can pay a little money to instantly increase your credit score. Now you can, you know, manipulate different things, like what are the loans you can get that don't change your credit score? What are the little things you can do each time you buy something more? You increase your credit score, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's completely, now we are not people even to an even greater extent. Now we're just a credit number. But those evil Chinese fascists are worse than we are.
Bwahaha. Gregory writes, yes, hustle and grind culture is fear-based and driven. Yeah. For sure. And for, you know, it's easy to, so many of my friends feel anxious about this because, like, for those of us who create content or something for part of their living, it's really hard. Yeah. There are a few people that enjoy hustle culture, but most people are, like, just anxiously trying to stay one step ahead from mental collapse. I'm not even exaggerating.
I hope you're not exaggerating at all.
I want to get to a platform that's somewhat stable before I give out and then can take 6 months to recover. Like, I've actually had to think that way. And a lot of people have to think that way. It's really messed up. Mm-hmm. Ellen writes, When I left Illinois in 2009 to go on tour with the anarchist folk punk band, I had been unemployed several months prior and applied to 86 jobs, then became underemployed with four separate jobs, equaling out to 80 plus hours per week the last few months before leaving. One of three. Leaving all those jobs at once felt really liberating, though. Some friends who employed me were hurt, saying I was irresponsible. With 80 plus hours, I still hadn't been able to meet bills. What did responsibility mean? Right, exactly. Then I thought leaving those jobs meant I had gotten out of the system. A friend challenged this. I was still a citizen who drove on the roads and ate food from the supply chain and benefited from white privileges. What system had I left?
Yeah.
Some big questions. Yeah.
Very powerful story. Yeah. And I think illustrates many of the things that we're talking about. You know, and again, you're inside of the system. And you're making these choices and decisions because that's what we have to do, right? And that's, you know, and that gets asked to your point about this individuality thing. I mean, one individual cannot shift this. And if you're not in some sort of community that's creating an alternative reality, you're just bouncing around, sort of trying the best you can, as you say, to stay one step ahead from mental collapse. And then the system often will tell you, oh, no, it's your fault, you're a failure, which is one of the mechanisms that keeps you embedded.
Yep. Susan writes, so when my kids were younger, we used to look for cooperative board games instead of competitive games. My partner's son loves games. Pandemic is an ironic cooperative game that we have played before COVID-19. Yeah, I've played Pandemic before. It matters how kids see the world through their parents and play. I mean, even just, yep. You know, this is an oft-used example, but it just shows you, like, Monopoly was created, I think, by a woman who wanted to have an anti-capitalist game, and it's turned into a capitalist game. So even just being able to try to like, you know, our system kind of commoditizes everything. And so even trying to find ways of engaging these different can be hard because quickly they shift. Yeah. So anyways, CK writes, funny how hustle culture is a cool thing, but poor people have been hustling to put food on the table and are looked at like social detritus and wrong for trying to survive. Social detritus. That's nice. And that's all sorts of, Dan and I have talked about this, people living out of vans so they can live the free life, living in tiny homes. People have been living out of like trailer homes and mobile homes for a long time. And they were called poor. Now, like, there's this spinning thing. Now there's this trend, like, and it's been going for a while, but pod living. Where you learn, like, it's basically you have a bunk bed kind of thing in a kind of a warehouse for people. I mean, sorry to bother you, made a whole satirical thing about that in that film. And so, like, and so then it gets trendified.
Mm-hmm.
So, so there's a sort of way of making the hustle cool or struggling cool. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Ellen writes, probably the best thing I picked up from the fundamental evangelical background was a cautious approach to taking on debt. Yeah, same. Mm. I still picked some up, but the funny shame can go rot. But how much would I have without that background? There's some silver linings. There's still some about those backgrounds. James writes, speaking of capitalism, Facebook reminds me that I can spend 200 stars to pin my comments on your video. This costs money, and if I spend more, my words are more visible and valuable. Jesus.
Yep. I didn't know that. There you go.
You should spend it, though, because you want to be... Wouldn't you like to have a badge for commenting?
Want to be a star?
Harry writes, could someone post the comments about the commodification of person and concretization of spirit? I didn't get that, but it struck home. Okay, so that was earlier from, what's that, Gregory who wrote that? The ossification?
Yeah, the ossification of spirit.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. So I think this was the quote you wanted, Harry. Gregory writes, commodification of reality is inextricably linked to the ossification of our spirit. Skip that for a moment.
Yeah.
Where are these? Well, I'm having to fish through the comments. We haven't had so many comments for a while. That's great.
I know. It's awesome.
Ellen writes, at the same time, Dan, artists in the situation we're in, being compensated for drawing is weirder than raking leaves. But why? I mean, this is that.
Yeah.
What gets commodified and why is fascinating too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, and what a culture values and what it doesn't value and what it decides to, quote, pay for, and then how much it's going to pay. You know, and in many ways, this is a lot of the conversation that's going on right now around this whole issue of jobs, as we're in what many people think is the post-pandemic, as we're just in the ignoring pandemic stage of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, what jobs are people willing to take and not take? And you know, Amazon boasts that it pays $18 an hour, but then you get all these reports from people who actually work at Amazon, and it's like you're being paid $18 an hour, and it's kind of like the Squid Games, like to be worked to death. And, you know, is that really a living wage? Well, not necessarily. We're past time, so let's, we're going to be talking through. About this all week.
Blaze yeah, we through. Have plenty more to say about this, and I know that there'll be more comments coming to you. Gregory writes, have to move from transactional to transformative and regenerative. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, so hopefully we can get to some of that. We've been already alluding to it, but this idea of, even in our social justice spaces, the way it's performative rather than transformative, like is all parts into like this mechanistic way of playing a system rather than becoming deeper and more human.
Mm-hmm.
Susan writes, is that what those stars are about? I've been ignoring that. I think, yeah, you can give stars. I think it actually does help us vaguely. If you give stars, certain stars stack up to money or something. And so they're trying to gamify content absorption. So that's kind of what I think they're doing. Even to, Ellen points out, even to ask what your score is in the wrong way lowers it. It's true.
That's true. Weird.
James writes, yes, yep, it is Facebook's attempt to monetize the comment feature.
Yeah.
Alan points out that I'm the queen of silver linings.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, my liege. Catherine writes, hey, Catherine, I would love so much to watch a reality TV show where everyone got challenged to make cool cakes or candy cars or sci-fi makeup or whatever, but no one got eliminated and everyone got paid well. And we just got to watch cool making processes. The idea that people only work hard when only one can win is total BS. Yeah, I love those shows. I really do enjoy watching those sorts of shows about glass blowing, about pottery. They have, you know, making swords. There's all sorts of these shows, but you're right. It's all at the end. There can only be one. And it's competitive based.
Right. Yep.
Well, and then they always treat it like when someone helps someone else in these cake shows, it's like, wow, what a good person.
I know.
It's not normal. Angelique says, we idolize success, thus we get horrified when someone judges us and our choices as failure. Hustle is only good in society's eyes if hustle is the way to riches, success, or on top. Yeah, if you hustle but you're continually losing, then you're a leech. That's how our society treats you. You're like that schlubby cousin who still lives with their parents. Because they didn't hustle well enough. And then if you're always coming up with schemes and you can't afford it, then you're also a leech. But if you have schemes and can afford it, then you're Elon Musk.
Right.
And you can claim credit for the inventions that you paid other people to buy from them. Harry writes, many thanks. Ellen says, I don't think the star comment pinning system works with StreamYard. No. StreamYard is going against the grain. CK writes, if you go to Venice Beach, you can see young white trustafarians living on the beach, not being fucked with, but people of color arrested for just trying to survive.
Yeah, there's another great layer to all of this. Right.
Harry says, great discussion.
Thank you.
Ellen says, inflation is changing what counts as a living wage so rapidly, I'm not sure what to ask for anymore. That's another piece of it.
That's another great point.
Like, we don't even know the rules of the game sometimes. Because they're changing. And if you don't know the rules of the game, it's because you're not set up to win. Like, that's kind of part of it, too.
There's right. Here.
Susan writes, I don't need to be a star, but you both are great. Thank you for this discussion.
Thanks, Susan.
It says, yes, Catherine, they create false drama and it makes the show worse. Oh, they always, when they're, they always end the bring the commercial, like, right. And the winner is,
bum, bum, bum.
Would you like whiter teeth? Like, like, oh, no, I have to wait. Adam writes, we now have a Delta Plus, but the pandemic's over, right? Talk about skewed worldview. There are those who can't differentiate between being over it and it being over.
That's for sure. All right.
And last we'll end comment. On this. Much love to you, too. Be well. Well, thank you, CK.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, thanks, everybody. Great discussion. Wonderful comments. Really love to hear from everybody. Maybe go watch the Squid Games. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I don't know if I endorse it exactly, but.
All right. We'll see you on Wednesday.
See you on Wednesday, everybody.